and welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable, psychologist, life coach, mother of two, and author of MILF 101, Make Your Life Fabulous. Whether you're married with children, single, divorced, all of the above, I'm talking to you about life, relationships, and whenever possible, sex. And that would be today. Today, we're talking about sex and nonverbal communication. So I pose the question, do you need a sex magnet? Literally a magnet on the fridge, like a dishes cleaner dirty magnet, to signal that sex is possible today. My friend Steve Oakes is back to help me with this one. Steve is the author of Midmen, The Modern Man's Guide to Surviving Midlife Crisis, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Don't forget it. Welcome, Steve. Thank you for coming back. Steve back. Yay. Everybody drink to Steve. Okay.
That would be awesome.
Your book inspired this episode.
I'm very proud.
Yeah, I don't even know if you meant it to be a big point, but it was one of my favorite little stories and got me thinking about how this might actually be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So for all you couples out there, especially those that are both mid-men and mid-women, this episode is going to give you some ideas.
I hope.
Yes.
Yes.
So a mid-man, well, tell us quickly, in case they haven't listened to the other episode.
Okay.
Tell us briefly how you know if you're a mid-man.
Well, a mid-man, it's sort of shorthand for a guy having a midlife crisis.
Right.
So okay. A mid-man is a guy, it's late bloomers.
That would be really
yeah,
late blooming.
Really late blooming.
I lost my virginity when I was 53.
I'm 48 and I think it's time to get some.
That's right.
late boomers. So okay. Like I'm born in 1959, so I'd be a late boomer, mm-hmm. end of the boomer group, but also like the first half of the Gen X group.
Mm.
Also mid-men. So guys who are basically – there's an age we reach, and it's not necessarily chronological specifically. It seems to be a coincidence. But where we acknowledge our mortality. We're immortal right up until this moment where we go, holy crap, this time thing is not letting up on me.
Clock keeps ticking.
This son of a bitch keeps coming at me. So, and you just, well, wait a minute. If it keeps doing that, eventually the fucker's going to kill me.
Yes.
So that's the
moment. You are going to die.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the moment when you just start going like, oh, my God. All that immortality I enjoyed when I was like all up until my midlife crisis. So let's say you can make it all the way, in my case, all the way to 47.
Mm-hmm.
With
pretty good.
This, yes, with this wonderful benign ignorance that allows you to simply go through your life assuming that it was without end and that your goals are always waiting to be achieved and, mm-hmm. and that the best of life
you got
is
all
still
the time in the world.
Yeah. And one day you just wake up and you go, you know what? I was lying to myself that whole time. I'm completely wrong about that. And this not only is this finite, it's fast.
Yeah.
And you break down. You have a midlife crisis.
Okay. So those are the mid-men.
Those are my mid-men.
Okay. So let's talk about the women who love them.
Yes.
The mid-women.
Yes.
Okay. Also.
Midwives. Is that like
No, they're not midwives. Nobody's actually come up with a good name for this group, actually.
They're not a good group to try to come up with a name.
No.
Because they're gonna fight you.
Something is going to insult
yes,
on some
exactly.
level. There's just no good way to put this.
No,
okay, so
no. You can't even call them ma'am. You can't even say madame, ma'am.
None of those.
You can call them. Honey is good.
So for our honey is good. Sweet cheeks.
Sweetie, but stay away
sugar
from
britches.
Ma'am. Yeah, yeah.
No ma'am.
Nope.
Yeah. So for our purposes, we'll just call them midwomen.
For now.
So, okay, so we have a shit storm of hormonal revenge from Mother Nature that we have the nerve to still be alive even though we're not procreating.
Right.
So we get a little moody. Thanks. Yeah. We get a little moody.
Yeah.
We get a little.
It's chemical. It's not just it's your brain and your chemistry.
Yes.
More so for women.
All one unit.
Yep.
Yes,
yep.
We are.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be really overwhelming and
I'm sure.
It can really mess with our sex drive. When I hit 35, my sex drive went through the roof. However, I mean, from my experience, that's great,
uh-huh.
but it also kind of fluctuates. It gets a little unpredictable and, you know, the cycle is like 3 weeks. It's crazy.
Right.
Like
right.
it's just, it's.
Right. Which means the pre-cycle
is just a pain in the ass
also,
to be me
way.
Right now.
Right.
That's just pretty. Yeah. So the pre-cycle is 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're always in some stage,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Here we have the men facing mortality, the women facing mortality. And just a shitstorm of hormones.
A chemical fireworks display.
That's right. Okay. And we still want to know when we're getting laid. basically, right?
Right, right. That's right.
So one of your
stories— I looked at your schedule, by the way. It's 6:30.
Oh, excellent. I'll be home on time, baby. Okay. So in an age where, you know, we say we should really just talk about everything and—
right.
I love this option that I read about in your book,
okay?
And I would love for you to tell us the story of how you found Rostaman.
Well, how we found it has almost nothing to do with its final application. So it's a cute little story, but it has nothing to do with the theme of the show.
Oh, what the hell? Give us a little synopsis.
We were on a cruise with my family in the Caribbean.
Oh, boy, this is boring. Okay, go. Yeah.
And we got at the end. Okay.
Okay. So you bought it.
Yeah.
What's it look like?
We're on a bus, you know, and there was a guy, it was actually a vendor on the bus who was on his way to service the local souvenir stands. And he showed us this little Rasta. He said, okay, great. Perfect souvenir.
Cool.
So it's a little Rasta head. It's in a little hand painted. I'm sure it's China, not whatever island we were on. St. Martin's, I think. He's a little, you know, hip stoned looking little Rasta guy. He's
nice.
Probably, you know, an inch and a half tall or something. A little guy. And it says, no problem.
Uh-huh.
And so one day my wife was having her cycle and she saw the magnet and she disagreed with it and she flipped it upside down. It's sort of like the May Day signal of an American flag. If you hang an American flag upside down, it means you're in trouble. It's a May Day.
Good to know.
So yeah, that is good to know.
Yeah.
So the same thing happened in my house. when the Rasta man is flipped.
It's not no problem.
May Day.
There's a problem,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Opposite of no problem.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
And that means, you know, keep your grubby hands to yourself.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
it doesn't mean that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Truth just means. Yeah.
She's, you know, probably flowing or something.
Yes,
there's
exactly.
Discomfort of some kind,
yes.
That would prevent...
Well, I wanted to split hairs here for a
please,
second.
Please do.
Because honestly, it is more preventative to me than it is to her. She wouldn't flip the Rasta really at all because that's not a problem she considers a problem. It's just
right.
Something that doesn't work for me.
Gotcha.
So that's she's letting she's
so it's your problem.
Me, it's my problem.
It's your problem.
I don't care for
that
intimacy.
The crime scene.
Wow, that's graphic.
Well,
but you're absolutely right. Honestly, you know, I'm not a sadistic person. Like, you know, we so I don't want to feel like I'm killing her. Yeah. So no, that does not turn that particular
right. So it
element
just kind of lets you know what's going on without her having to.
She's saying
talk
politely
about
to me,
it.
You probably don't want to visit right now.
Right. Right. But it's interesting because you get to sort of avoid some conversation. It's kind of amusing.
Yep.
It's kind of like it's, you know, it is like a dishes clean or dirty kind of like flip the magnet kind of thing.
Yeah. Or like
kind of convenient.
I would know this if I went to college, but I didn't. By the way, the book is by Steve Oakes, GED, which is.
Yes. Congratulations on that, too.
Thank
by
you
the
very
way.
Much. I know. I just went to the reunion. It was quite a time we all had.
Must have been.
But it's sort of like in dormitories, they hang a sock on a doorknob if they're inside. Getting,
yes.
You know, like. So the signals, people have these types of signals. This is ours.
I like it. I think that this, it's better than trying to keep the calendar thing, right?
But that doesn't matter now. She's in perimenopause.
Right. So the calendar doesn't mean anything, right?
So
you get to avoid a lot of specific conversations. Now, okay, but let's say everybody needs a Rastaman magnet.
Everybody need a Rastaman.
Baby.
Baby.
I'm not good at that. Don't make me do that. I'm going to sound like a complete idiot. Let's talk about some rules about the Rastaman. I know,
yes.
Do you get to flip the Rastaman?
Well, we've been together for 26 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's have some applause for that. Woo! Yay. Okay.
Thank you. So I know my wife pretty well. And, of course, she knows me well also, but that's not the subject.
My condolences.
So, to her.
Yes.
Yes. but I know my wife pretty well. And so I can generally tell if she's going to be spotting before she actually knows, because I can sense the edge in her attitude before she can.
The aura changes.
Yeah, it's like that.
Yes.
You know, it's. I think in the last show we talked about hypoglycemia. Or was that this one? I'm so confused.
Yeah. That was that one.
The last show. I was saying that it's insidious because I can
sure.
get, I can become hypoglycemic without even having become hungry. So all of a sudden, boom, I'm a douche and I had nothing to do with it. In this case, it's the same. Everything seems sane to her. She's inside of her brain and it's still
– Totally makes sense
it's
to
working
her.
Its version of logic mm-hmm. about circumstances. It perceives a certain way. So she doesn't understand that the edge is there. I sense it. So there have been occasions where I know she's got to be 2 hours away from spotting. And I will go in and – Maybe I'm just expressing. It's almost a little passive aggressive.
I was going to say this might be a little passive aggressive. We might have to set up some rules around this.
But, all right, it probably is. But, like, but she doesn't notice anyway. But I will go in and I'll go like, I'll look at the roster and go, I don't think so. Kind of flip the roster myself and go, I'm going to put you. You're on break for a week, I think.
Well, okay, so that brings up the issue. You would never want to use the magnet in a fight. Right, you wouldn't want to be like
that's not its purpose.
Because it's not a punishing tool.
No, this is not a. And why would we have all those punishing tools?
Those you keep under the bed, yeah. Right? In the velvet tray.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, talk about nonverbal communication.
Actually, no problem, man, is our safe word.
Oh, good. Mine's Giuliani.
Actually, the first half of that is mine. It's Julie. My wife's name is Julie. See what I did?
Oh, my God. See what you did there.
Giuliani,
that's
is that
so
really,
cute.
Is that your safe word?
I don't really need a safe word because I'm not into that kind of thing.
Well, no, the great thing about Giuliani is a safe word is not only does it stop the action, it removes the erection completely. So now there's no reason to even have a safe word.
It is totally safe.
Everything
everybody's
is immediately safe.
Safe. Now.
Everything, all compasses now facing south.
So it's not a punishing tool.
Okay. Wait, are we back to penis?
No. All right. How many days in a row does the magnet get to be upside down before you can ask questions?
Well, you know what?
Like, honey, do we need to take you to the hospital? Is it something I said? Do we need to, you know?
It has actually languished in the upside down position for longer than necessary, but there are also other signals. I mean, we do not rely solely on the roster. So that's probably good.
After 27 years, you should probably have some other tools.
There are ways to do things verbally that represent a visual. So she can say the roster has flipped without literally flipping it.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. I remember once.
That's kind of sexy.
I was gigging. I was a comedian for many years. I was a professional comedian for your listeners. And I wasn't a comedian for your
definitely,
listeners.
Like, Google him on YouTube. There's some good shit out there.
Oh, thank you. So I was a professional. And I remember once I was working, like, just some shithole in Pennsylvania. It was like, you know, they used to have these weeknight gigs. They would discos and they'd put you on a dance floor and, like, you know, and they'd turn off the flashing lights and, like, hit you with a spot and boom. And you're surrounded. Like, you've got, like, a 10-foot parameter all the way around you and because you're in the middle of a dance floor. And once I was getting –
That sounds like a panic attack waiting to happen.
You work your way up to it. You don't open with that.
No, okay.
But anyway, no, I did not have a panic attack, but it was just a shitty gig. And I was being heckled by a blind guy. Ferociously heckled by a blind guy.
Wow.
So at one point I was like, I was leaning, my elbow was up on the mic stand and I had the mic actually in my other hand. And I did not move my hands in any way, but told the blind guy I was giving him the finger. So that's a good way to have a verbal representation of something that actually would have been visual.
Thank you for that complete illustration. Now we are all very clear. All right. Well, you know, there's websites out there like Zazzle.com. I discovered that has refrigerator magnets if you want to be creative, you know. But I was thinking of like what other refrigerator magnets could represent, you know, good times. Like the beer has spilled.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Like what, you know, other than Rasta Man, if Rasta Man doesn't do it for you, but I do like the phrase, the Rasta has flipped.
The Rasta has flipped.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like he turned states.
Or the pancake has flipped, but that's not sexy.
And also a pancake
would be very difficult to tell.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, pancakes look very similar no matter what they're facing.
It could be a light switch on off, like kind of thing.
Oh, that
kind
of works.
It's on kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you could have two magnets and put one on top of the other.
Do you ever feel like you need your own magnet?
No.
So we don't think that people would need two magnets.
Well, I think that, and this goes back to something we touched on in the previous show.
Talking about the past, Steve. You're just so hung up in the past.
It just meant so much to me. It's hard to lose.
Okay, so go.
I think because if somebody's now, this is specific to living with a midman.
Right.
So this is not for the kids. The kids listening.
Right. You
this
young folks.
This is not
folks.
You. Yeah. You just keep on keeping
just
on.
Just keep honeymooning.
Yeah, exactly. Just do your thing. But for men my age and in my area, our libidos are generally a little lower all the way around unless something really trips our trigger in a strange way that activates. So So most of the time, my Rasta is going to be sideways, you know?
So you're kind of sideways.
Yeah.
And so
I don't care which way he goes.
Right. So she can kind of, she kind of inspires.
It is said.
Or uninspires.
At a certain age, it is said that couples of a certain age,
uh-huh,
that the woman is now in control of the direction of the Rasta. In the younger relationships, shut up.
That's what it says in the ancient text.
It does. It was originally written in Sanskrit. As a matter of fact. No, just to continue using the Rasta.
We're there.
So when guys get to a certain age, and especially if they've been in a relationship for a long time, that has a lot to do with it also, that you're not in a honeymoon anymore. That aspect of the relationship is not there. So you're very comfortable and there's no – the thrill of courtship and stuff, whether you like it or not, no matter how many candles you light, no matter how you sip the champagne – there's a familiarity there that you're simply not going to get.
Which
around.
Also can be wonderful, and
it can be wonderful more, once you start.
Yes,
but
once you start, you got to get the engine going.
That's right. Yeah. So the midman is generally idling. The engine is. I'll just continue that. It's generally the engine is not racing, nor has it stalled. So it's kind of up to the woman in that partnership or in that relationship to either turn the key and turn it off, or hit the gas and rev it.
Gotcha.
It falls to the woman at a certain point.
Okay.
And I did not pioneer that concept. I read it somewhere. I forgot who presented it, but I think it's a really valid concept.
I think that's a very good way to think of it. I think that gives us all, you know, a nice understandable way to approach. I like
her libido is rising. Is at a higher level. My libido
and
is
yet,
at a lower level.
It's unpredictable, I think.
Well, I'm
just saying.
Okay. Well,
I mean, I mean, your wife.
Well, no, I hear
you. She's a hottie. So just so everybody knows. Yay, Steve Moore applause. Yeah. Let's hear it for the hot wives.
That is actually true. Google that.
So, well, no, but I think that's a useful tool.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's kind of on her to kind of get the ball rolling and get things started. She's likely to pop the wine bottle before the man is at a certain point in a relationship, according to age.
All right. Fantastic.
I think.
And we can learn things like this and much more in your book, right?
Yes,
and it's a good book for women to read to understand their men, right?
I mean, this is your show. Honestly, this is not a joke. On your show right now. And the last show I did was called Men Are People Too, and it was hosted by a woman. And the articles, the woman that – there's somebody at AARP who's reading the book to write about it. There's women.
Yes.
I'm actually marketing to women.
I agree. I think that this is important for us to understand.
Absolutely. Women should read it. And because it's kind of crude and funny, men are like – and the cover
men
looks
are
like
likely
a Mad Magazine.
They're likely to peruse.
Men are much more likely to enjoy this book than they would a traditional self-help book. There is no woo psychology in here.
Right.
This is not new agey. This is not – frankly, I'm not the most sensitive guy in the world, so it's not like – a touchy-feely book at all. But it does state very clearly.
But it looks really good on the coffee table.
Doesn't that look nice?
Yeah, it is. It's very cool. And so if you read it and you kind of leave it out, then, I think he'll pick it up too.
Leave it on the nightstand. It looks enough like a Mad Magazine that a man of my age will pick it up. Well, you know, the cover, the guy, the artist I had do the cover knocked off Jack Davis.
And
if any men listening to this broadcast right now know that I'm speaking their language.
All right. So tell us one more time where we can find it.
The name of the book is Midmen, The Modern Man's Guide to Surviving Midlife Crisis by Steve Oakes, OCHS.
GED.
GED. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And you can find that at Amazon. And you can find it at BarnesandNoble.com, and it is available in Kindle and paperback.
Yay! You can find me at Facebook, Sophie Venable, and also MILF Talk. So like the MILF Talk page if you would be so kind. If you're on iTunes or SoundCloud right now, please click subscribe. That would really help my cause. And if you need some help with some goal setting, download your free goal setting workbook on my website, MakeYourLifeFabulous.com. And my book is right next to Steve's. On the shelves at Amazon.
There we
also,
are.
MILF 101, Make Your Life Fabulous. So thank you so much for being here.
Oh my God,
this was
thank
great.
You.
And thank you all for listening.